You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It's time to get up with Mr. Mahomes. On the eve of his second Super Bowl, we'll tell you why he's under more pressure than he's ever faced in his career. Plus, on the other side, we've got Kansas City's plan to stop a goat in his tracks. It's the best matchup in Super Bowl history. And just when you thought this was settled, we'll tell you what, where, and why Wentz is still likely to be shipped out of Philadelphia. All that and more as we get underway for the final Football Friday of this football season. Greeny with you here and delighted you've chosen to get up with us. All eyes, of course, on the center of the football universe, and that is Raymond James Stadium, Tampa Bay. We're rooting for good weather and an all-time great game on Sunday as we count down the hours now to Super Bowl 55. And look at the crew that we have put together to break this down for you now. Graziano's got the insight. I got a couple of LSU legends, Marcus Spears and Booger McFarland, who in reality are sitting like 10 feet apart from each other right now. And Bart Scott is ready to go this morning as well. We can't wait for the Super Bowl on Sunday. And let's start with what we can't wait to see. Booger, I'm starting with you. Give me the one big thing you're watching for Sunday night.
Well, Green, I want to see if this Tampa Bay pass rush can get after Patrick Mahomes. We've heard about this Chiefs offensive line and how they're going to be without the tackles. If the Bucs are going to dominate and win this game, JPP, Shaq Barrett, and Ndamukong Vita Vea, roll call, show up on Sunday, Super Bowl 55.
Bart Scott, what's the one big thing you can't wait to see on Sunday?
Well, I want to see how they decide to try and take away Travis Kelce. So Lavonte David and Devin White is going to be huge. They're going to bracket him. You got to hit him at the line of scrimmage with your defensive ends. JPP, like Booger said, before he goes on his pass rush, he's going to have to give him a little hamburger helper, give him some ribs for that, give him some barbecue sauce for those ribs. You know what I mean? Soften him up for the crew.
Hamburger helper. Graziano, what's the one thing you're looking forward to seeing on Sunday?
Want to see how Tom Brady does on third down. A couple weeks ago, I thought the Packers were rolling, looking good. And then on the first drive of the game, Brady converts all three third downs and the Bucs score a touchdown. I thought, uh-oh, this could be a rough one for Green Bay, and it was. Brady in the first half on third down was a killer in the NFC Championship game. If he can do it again, could be trouble for the Chiefs.
And then finally, Swagoo, what do you have your eye on Sunday night in the Super Bowl?
Oh, the straight matchup, G. I love the smoke that was thrown earlier this week. JPP versus Mike Remmers. JPP don't know who the hell Mike Remmers is, and Mike Remmers ain't never worried about the guy that he's had to block. We know how important it is for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to get to the quarterback. So I want to see the only two dudes to throw some smoke towards each other during the Super Bowl. I want to see which one going to win this matchup.
Well, so a lot of you have chosen similar variations on the same theme, and it really does seem to be the central question. And so, Booger, I'm coming to you directly with it. Do you believe that the Tampa Bay pass rush against this depleted offensive line can wreck the game? Mahomes is as good as anyone we've ever seen, but he can't do it from his back. Can this Tampa Bay pass rush wreck the game Sunday in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, Greeny, they can if Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy don't allow those tackles to go one-on-one. Remmers, Wiley, they can't handle Shaq Barrett and JPP. There's a reason they're not starters in this league. But, Greeny, guess what? If I know that, Bart knows that, and Swagoo knows that. You know who else knows that, Greeny? Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid. So expect Travis Kelce to do what Bart Scott said. Throw that hamburger helper against JPP's ribs. The running back's going to come out. He's going to chip. Andy Reid knows that if he lines up and goes 5-on-4 with this defensive line, he will not win. He also knows that Patrick Mahomes will be on his back. So, Greeny, expect a lot of help, a lot of chips, and a lot of slide protections to make sure that JPP and Shaq Barrett and Vita Vea inside don't wreck this game.
Right, so that makes all the sense in the world. But, Bart Scott, let's teach the folks a little football here. How much does that impact what Kansas City wants to do offensively? If they have to use their tight end, their all-world tight end to chip, if they have to use their backs, now they can't send all the people out into their creative passing game they usually do. How much does that impact Kansas City's offense?
It's a huge impact, Greeny, and it means that Mahomes is going to have to be quick and decisive with the football. And, you know, guys like Harmon and Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill is going to have to win at the line of scrimmage. You know, with that being said, the counter to that is make sure that you get up in their face and play two-man, because the check is whenever you're off on Tyreek Hill, he's going to get on you so fast that the vertical shot is there. But whenever, you know, they see that you're up tight, he's going to come with the quick slant, you know, be able to get his best athlete in space against yours. So what you're going to have to make sure that you do is you're going to have to challenge them at the line of scrimmage. The offensive, the defensive line and the back end has to be tied on a string. And they have to make sure Vita Vea, Golson has to make sure they don't allow Mahomes to step up and buy time with his feet, stepping up and stepping out, because you know that the guys on the outside are going to be going for broke. So when you do that, you create running lanes. The same running lanes that Mahomes is going to have is going to be the same throwing lanes that he has as well. So you got to make sure that you close those things up. Make sure whenever the quarterback gets, you get the quarterback depth, you have to be able to spin back, because his legs are the last thing to leave the hole. So you have to retrace and retrace your steps to get back to Mahomes to make him have a tough day.
Well, Marcus, it's an interesting thought. Last year in the postseason, Patrick Mahomes running with the football was a huge factor in their games. Hasn't been as much this year. He's had a toe injury that we'll get to for in a minute. But how much of a factor do you expect that to be? If the pass rush is getting to him, should we be expecting to see Mahomes running with the football a lot?
Most definitely, G, and we've seen him raise his level and pull out new tools through games and situations that he's needed them. And I think that's why we enamored with Patrick Mahomes, honestly, because we've seen him adjust to every situation in the NFL. And listen, there would be no other team in the NFL that we would think would win this game outside of the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's because of Patrick Mahomes. You telling me that a depleted offensive line is about to play in the Super Bowl against one of the top five pass rushing teams in the NFL, and we not sitting here talking about the trouble that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to have? No, because of 15 and his mobility and the way Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy calls plays as well. They are not going to allow these dudes to get going, pin their ears back. The best thing for the Kansas City Chiefs will be Patrick Mahomes' ability to move, slide, take 10 to 15 yards when he can run down the field and put that secondary level defense in no man's land. Do we come up and tackle Patrick Mahomes and he goes over our head to Tyreek or Travis Kelce, or do we allow him to pick up this first down and live to play some more downs as opposed to giving up the explosive plays? Patrick Mahomes will equalize this thing, trust me.
Yeah, but he's going to be without one of his most important teammates. Again, Eric Fisher, who was the starting left tackle, who was out for this, who tore his Achilles. They've only taken 18 snaps this season without him on the field. They all came after that injury against Buffalo, so that's a huge factor. And, Dan, let's go back to the injury to Mahomes. We all forgot about the toe because he had the concussion, or at least was in the concussion protocol coming out of the Cleveland game. How, if at all, do we expect that toe injury to impact his ability to use his mobility in the Super Bowl?
The Chiefs felt like it had some impact on his ability to move around in the AFC Championship game. Obviously, it didn't cost them anything in that game. They won it easily. But he talked earlier this week about it starting to feel better, about how the rest, the extra week between the Conference Championship game and the Super Bowl had been good for it, and he expects it to feel better on Sunday than it did the last time he was out there. He kept saying close to 100%, so it's possible that it will affect him at least in some small way, especially if he has to move around a lot, but the anticipation is that it'll be better, in better shape than it was against Buffalo.
All right, so that's something to take out of this. Maybe Mahomes using his legs becomes a bigger factor in this game than it has been so far in the playoffs. So we've spent pretty much the whole week focusing on the Tampa defense against the Kansas City offense. How about the reverse? How about the flip side when Tampa Bay has the football and that means the GOAT is on the field? Tom Brady going up against a Steve Spagnuolo defense. And historically, that's not been a good matchup for Brady. You see it there. He's 2-3 in his career against Spags, as he is known. That is the worst record he has against any defensive coordinator. In those five games, you see the numbers. Just 9 touchdowns, 13 sacks. His QBR is much lower than usual. One of these games was the Super Bowl, the legendary one where the Patriots were 18-0 and the Giants pass rush, which they call the NASCAR passage, a package, shut them down, held them to 14 points in the game. Booger, how similar is this? We keep talking about Tampa Bay's defense. What do we expect Kansas City's defense to do up against Brady?
Well, Greeny, that NASCAR package that you referenced was Tuck, Human, Euro, Strahan. Like, they were dominant up front. I don't know if this Kansas City defensive line can be as dominant all the way around. Chris Jones has been pretty consistent. Frank Clark has been inconsistent throughout the season. Can they rev it up? Can they turn it up in the Super Bowl? This offensive line of Tampa Bay is one of the more underrated units in the NFL, one of the better units. You got Donovan Smith, Ali Marpet, and a guy who should get Rookie of the Year consideration in Tristan Wirfs. This is going to be the more underrated matchup of the game. We're all going to focus on the other side. Can Vita Vea and JPP get to Patrick Mahomes? But if Frank Clark and Chris Jones can't move Tom Brady off the spot, and now Spags has to blitz, you got to bring Sorensen, you got to bring Tyrann Mathieu on the back end. I know the Chiefs' defensive secondary has played really, really well in man coverage lately, but I think the Buccaneers and Tom Brady can exploit it if Chris Jones and Frank Clark can't get to Brady and win their one-on-one matchups the way you did in the Super Bowl with Strahan, Tuck, and Urban Ure in the back end of the day.
Marcus, I know you've been taking a close look at this all week, and you have some tape. Let's take a look.
Yeah, it's because Spags does a tremendous job of just bringing one extra guy against Tom Brady, even when he does. And the zone pressures are going to be paramount in this game, because one thing you have to do against Tom Brady is get him to hitch, get him to pull it down for a second. And here we see Derek Nandy, the defensive tackle. We got Sorensen and Snead on the outside. They use Nandy to take away a window from Josh Allen immediately. Allen head is that way, D-tackle dropping. I'm going to close that window. If you look at Sorensen and Snead, they're closing. Kansas City defenders, eyes back. They see their guys. Where are you going to go with the football, G? And now you have speed off the edge using skilled secondary level guys to get to the quarterback. Look, Josh Allen was one of the hardest sacks in the NFL this year because of his athleticism. We know damn well Tom ain't going to have no athleticism. So if you can get him to pull this football down, create some of those little nuanced looks. You don't live in that area against Tom Brady. He's seen it all. But every time you get a chance to add an extra guy in the coverage from an unforeseen place and get him to hitch and pull the ball down and take a half a second or an extra second to throw the football, you could get home, and it could be huge plays for the Kansas City Chiefs defense. And let me remind everybody, right? Like, this defense has raised their level of play now for 2 years in the playoffs. They figured out ways to make plays. Yeah, they may have given up yards. They may give up some big plays, but they create turnovers. They give this offense extra possessions, and that is all you need to do when you have Patrick Mahomes and the weapons they have on the other side. So Spags will be ready. He'll have his own pressure package set up. But to Boog's point, if Frank Clark and Chris Jones' name don't pop up all over this stat sheet, then they didn't get what they needed to get done, and we may be sitting here talking about the Bucs winning the Super Bowl.
And so, Bart, let me come to you, because you may have played in more big games against Tom Brady than practically any player ever, but those all came, of course, when he was playing for New England. How is it different now in this system and what he's doing with Bruce Arians in this offense? How is it different with Brady, and what are the keys to attacking this Tom Brady?
Well, I think really it's about, you know, Tom Brady and his protection. We talk about it. We showed that Josh Allen was getting attacked. Josh Allen's a guy that hasn't been in a lot of wars. He doesn't understand how to see where the pressure's coming. I think when they went to the bye week, they figured out what the best personnel grouping was, and I think it's 12 personnel. And I think that's really what you brought Gronk in, not because you needed him to really make plays down the field, but you needed him to be that second tackle, that security blanket. You saw last week, you know, he was blocking, then here comes the screen pass, a pivotal play in the game. You know, I think they figured it out. So you make those edges a lot longer. So now you think about Chris Jones in the middle. Now you have an extra body that you can double him and not get instant pressure on Tom Brady. We think the elements are going to play a role in this game. Leonard Fournette running the ball downhill, no risky, no bisky, off play action, being able to take shots down the field. I think that's going to be the key, the personnel group. And I think 12 personnel is a vantage Buccaneers.
To be clear, that's one back and two tight ends is 12 personnel, and then you try and run it with Fournette, and he's referencing whether there is a chance this will be a weather game. We've only had one Super Bowl that
was played
game,
in heavy. Spit that game, G.
Well, listen.
Tell them what that personnel look like, G. That's what I'm talking about.
I've learned some of the terminology. Booger knows what it's like to play a Super Bowl in the rain. We'll talk about that as we go. But let me run the hurry up with Graziano here, because there's news and notes to get to, Dan, around the league. What can you tell us? Let's start with the Steelers and their conversations with Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, Greeny, our Jeremy Fowler reporting yesterday that the Steelers are expected to meet with Ben Roethlisberger next week to discuss his contract situation. 1 year left. His cap number is $41.25 million. They have to do something to knock that down. Look, they can probably get something worked out, but it's not 100% that they do, and Ben Roethlisberger's back on the team this year, a situation worth watching. In Atlanta, team owner Arthur Blank saying that he expects quarterback Matt Ryan and wide receiver Julio Jones to be on the team in 2021 in spite of their large contracts and salaries. This makes sense if you look at Ryan's number, almost the same as Roethlisberger's, right around $41 million against the cap, but that would actually go up if they traded him. It would make a lot more sense for that team to move on from those guys a year from now than it would this offseason. And look, we talked yesterday about Carson Wentz in Philadelphia. Teams are calling because the word is out that he doesn't want to be there anymore. The Eagles are still telling teams that call, hey, we're not interested in trading him. We expect him to be on this year's team. But teams continue to call because they believe the Eagles will ultimately have to change their mind or end up caving to whatever Carson Wentz wants in terms of getting out of town. So it's a situation around the league, even though the Eagles are still taking the stance that they don't want to move him, that teams are watching closely and not ruling out the possibility that they change their minds.
Mm. I mean, that is such a all of those are such fascinating situations. As I bring the crew in here, again, I call myself the Schefter Whisperer sometimes because I've known Adam Schefter 15 years. He doesn't just say stuff. So when he says on the radio show the other day, you know, my guess is Carson Wentz gets traded this offseason, that's not as much a guess when it comes from Schefter. So Marcus Spears, what do we say about this? I think the general perception, the conventional wisdom has been there was a power struggle in Philly. Carson Wentz won it. They got rid of the coach. He's gotten kind of everything he wants. And he still wants out. What does this mean?
Gee, I'm absolutely disgusted with this situation, man. Because, look, we talked about this ad nauseum. And when they decided to fire Doug Peterson, they chose Carson Wentz. And they brought in a coach for Carson Wentz. And now Carson Wentz won't out. I worry about Carson Wentz's mental strength with this game. Like, this, the NFL is going to present challenges every time you get ready for a season, every time you play a game, every time you practice. And, look, he played his way into this. I cannot stress that enough. It's not like the Philadelphia Eagles did anything to Carson Wentz. We watched him go out Sunday after Sunday, throw interception after interception, not have a lot of success until finally they had to go to Jalen Hurts and Jalen Hurts showed some promise. But it even in that situation, it took them forever to make that decision because they wanted everything for Carson Wentz to work out. And now the fact that he wants to leave just tells me about Carson Wentz trying to get himself away. I don't know if it's Philly fans. I don't know if he still has an issue with the people in the building. Whatever it is, when a team has made all of these adjustments, Sirianni coming over, Frank Reich's guy, get you back to MVP level football, and then you decide you want out. I'm not sure if any other team wants to take that on unless Carson Wentz is telling everybody, if everything is not okay and we not – in a great place, I'm going to have issues being here based on what we've seen transpire in Philly.
Yeah, I mean, the talent is so obviously there. And so we all know football people will look at that and every one of them will raise their hand and say, oh, I can fix that guy. I can fix that guy. But the cautionary flags are, as you were saying, are all over the place. Bart Scott, what do you think of this?
Well, for me, I see it differently, right? Because when that trust is broken and you don't believe in the organization, you don't feel like, you know, they have your back, you want out. We see the same thing taking place in Houston. Deshaun Watson just signed a huge massive deal. He lost trust in the organization. You know what? He wants out. You know, Philadelphia, you know, went all in for the championship. They won the championship. And now they're grossly over the salary cap. You know, they don't have a lot of you know, draft equity. They don't have a lot of salary cap space to improve this football team. This is a football team that went all in to win a championship. I believe that Carson Wentz is still a great player, but he wants to take control of his narrative. And I think he really wants to have a reunion with Frank Wright. And he wants to go to Indianapolis. And for him to want that and for him to be able to pull that move, we see athletes taking control of the narrative. I can't discourage or, you know, beat Carson Wentz down because he wants a change of scenery.
Marcus, you see it differently. I go ahead.
Man, listen, Deshaun Watson is dealing with ownership in Philadelphia. Ownership in Houston. You know what ownership just did for Carson Wentz and Philly? Surrounded him with all the stuff that he needs to have success. Like, the trust is broken. They fired the damn head coach because of him. They wanted to put him in the best. This is the part that I don't understand about what the level of thinking is. That's why I reference. I don't know if it's Philly fans. I don't know if he just needs a new environment. I don't know what it is. But to say trust is lost, they moved the whole offseason for him. We didn't see Houston do that. We saw Houston trade away DeAndre Hopkins. We saw Houston alienate Deshaun Watson from just the ability to put input into the coaching hire about a guy that is going to determine his future. You know what Philly did for Carson Wentz's future? They hired a guy closely connected to the guy he's had the most success with. Miss me with all of the Carson Wentz doesn't trust the front office and the man. They chose him this offseason. Literally chose him. And also told Jalen Hurts, look, you did a good job, but we're going to build for Carson Wentz.
Go ahead, Bart. Final question.
But we know the Jalen Hurts, we know the elephant in the room. We know the elephant in the room is Jalen Hurts. You're going to have a quarterback controversy. You're going to divide the locker room because if Carson Wentz struggles, then you know you're going to start hearing the calls for Jalen Hurts. You can't have two quarterbacks. You can't survive with a quarterback competition. This ain't Joe Montana, Steve Young. You got to get a guy out of there. You got to make a decisive decision.
I think you may be actually both saying similar things, but in very different ways. We will have much more on this as we go. It figures to be a story that carries well past the Super Bowl. Meanwhile, coming up, we will reveal what the biggest X factor will be on the field on Super Sunday and why it has nothing to do with any player who's actually on the field. That is on the way. Plus, Tom Brady back in a familiar setting, but with a different team. We'll ask one of his former teammates if the Patriots locker room is rooting for Tampa Tom to win another title. And we're asking you today, the simplest of questions, who you got? Go to my Twitter page, at ESPN Greeny on Twitter. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? Chiefs, Bucks. We update it as we go. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Tums. Fights heartburn fast. And if you're watching us in Atlanta, you will probably need some as we remind you that today is the anniversary of the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. It was on this day 4 years ago that Tom Brady led the New England Patriots. Boy, I would struggle to say that. The New England Patriots back from a 28-3 deficit to knock off the Atlanta Falcons and win the Super Bowl in overtime. Again, the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history by far on this day. Meanwhile, we all expect big things from Tom and Patrick this weekend, but the real winner might be Mother Nature. We'll explain as we continue. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up as we continue to count down the hours until Super Bowl 55 played in that building, in that city, Tampa, Florida, Sunday night kickoff between the Chiefs and the Bucks. And just a little peek behind the curtain. You know, the way we have everything framed today, you would think that Booger and Marcus might well be on opposite ends of the country. That's actually how close together they're sitting. They're on that same little balcony right there in Tampa. And there's Sal Palantonio right in between them getting his work done. And it is Sal who joins us live. Good morning, Sal Palantonio.
Good morning, Michael. How are you? It's been great. I've been listening to Booger and Marcus. It's been like sports talk radio on Get Up, and I've been learning a lot about this football game. It's been fantastic. I would love to join the conversation if you'll have me.
Okay. Well, it is delightful to have you here for sure. And let's get right down to it. What message is Bruce Arians preaching to his players as he gets them ready to play in a game in which they have very, very little Super Bowl experience beyond their quarterback?
Well, the first thing is ball security. That's number one. They want to make sure that they take care of the football. This was the point of emphasis at the beginning of the week. Why? Because Tom Brady, 44 postseason games, he's 33-11, but he's 18-0 when his team wins the turnover battle. So that's number one. Number two is communication. They pumped in crowd noise yesterday. They know it's going to be loud as they've had all year long. And then number three, blitz pickup. They have put in a lot of extra periods this week in blitz pickup because, as Marcus was talking about before, they don't want any free rushers coming at Tom Brady like they had in the second half against the Packers in the NFC Championship game when Tom Brady turned the ball over. The bottom line is they don't want guys just getting into Brady's face. Remember this now. The Bucs had the most snaps in this postseason of six offensive linemen on the field, third most during the regular season. Byron Leftwich has done a great job with that offensive line of protecting Tom Brady, what they call the amphitheater there, that pocket. And they do it with extra guys on the offensive line and the terrific play that they've had from their O-line all year long and especially in the postseason. Now, to flip the script, to play off what those guys were playing, same before, if you go back, you look at the five sacks that Todd Bowles' defense had on Aaron Rodgers, and we'll talk about this on the matchup show this weekend, all five of them came on a four-man rush. They won with Barrett and JPP, and this is the thing that really worries the Kansas City Chiefs. The other thing is that if you go back to Super Bowl 50, how did Von Miller become the MVP against the Denver Broncos? With the Denver Broncos against the Carolina Panthers is because he was being blocked by Mike Remmers, who will have a target on his back in this game. The other thing to worry about in this game, and I know the coaches have talked about it on both teams, is the referee in this game is Carl Cheffers. And if you look at Carl Cheffers, his crews led the league in flags with an average of 16 flags per game. His crews called the fourth most offensive holding penalties in a year when offensive holding calls were down 40%. So if you're going to block JPP and Shaq Barrett in this game, you better do it the right way. Your technique better be right, or Cheffers will throw the flag, and that will help the Bucs.
Now, that's the last thing in the world any of us watching this game are looking forward to seeing. With that, Sal Palantonio, with outstanding insight. Thank you very much, Sal, as he is directly between those two guys talking football this morning. And weather also figures to be a potential factor in this game. AccuWeather says we could have inclement weather Sunday in Tampa. Currently, a 55% chance of precipitation, 30% chance of thunderstorms for the big game. So that's something we want even less. But how might it impact the Super Bowl? Well, let's start with one person who has played in the only Super Bowl ever that was played in consistent rain through the day, and that is Booger. When you guys were in Miami, the Colts knocking off the Bears in a rainy Super Bowl, what was that like, and what should we expect for this game if that is what the weather turns out to be?
Well, Greeny, it'll definitely change the game plan. Oh, we all know the offense that we had with Peyton Manning was a high-powered offense. You see Boog out there.
Sweet
you see the spin move. You see
feet.
It. The weather affects some people. It didn't affect me. Now, let me get back into my analyst mode here. Greeny, here's the thing about it. We were a high-powered offense. Peyton Manning wanted to throw the football.
Look at the hairline.
But because of the rain, the consistent rain all game long, they ran the football from an offensive standpoint. We rushed for 200-plus yards with Dominic Rose and Joseph Addai. So if there's a steady rain all game, expect the team that can run the football, because I don't care how good Tom Brady is and how good Patrick Mahomes, if the ball is slick and you can't control where the ball's going, you're going to have to turn around and hand the football off. And Peyton Manning was very diligent and consistent and persistent enough to turn around and hand the football off. So that will be a factor if the rain is not just intermittent, but consistent all game long.
And if so, as we look at this matchup here, Marcus Pierce, who does that favor? If it does become a weather game, which team does it favor?
Well, in all of my experience on the game Madden in the Super Bowls that I played in inclement weather, I wanted a physical downhill running football team. And the Bucks is who it favors, because that is what their MO can be. We talked about 12 personnel with two tight ends when Bart mentioned that. We talked about bringing in an extra offensive lineman like they've done at times this season. And they've leaned on Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones since he's come back from some injuries a little bit more in this run game. That's Brady's comfort level. But they are north and south. We talk about the Kansas City Chiefs being east and west and running that RPO. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers want to bludgeon you up front. They want to double team you. They want to gap block, and they want to get their big backs downhill real fast. And that's the type of runners that they're going to have to be. And sometimes you're going to have to make your own hole if you're Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones. So, and look, that's the Chiefs probably, that's the lowest point of their defense, is allowing people to rush in between the tackles. Yeah. So not only does it benefit them in inclement weather, it benefits them with the style that they already play an offense in.
What do you think, Bart? Weather, what does it do?
Well, absolutely. Well, what happens is, like everybody said, it allows the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to get in their best personnel, and you get those doubles where you can get movement and you can create these lanes. One of my most favorite players on this team is Jansen, the center. He's one of the nastiest players I've seen. He reminds me of Marshall Yanda, some of those Quint Nelson types. I think he can set the tone. But also what happens is that forces Kansas City then to bring Tyrann Mathieu into the box, and then that allows you to have play action shots down the field. And also, we haven't talked about, this is Tampa's home field. They know where the slick spots are. They know what type of cleats to wear. They know where all the sprinkler heads are. They know what to do when things get bad there. So this is when the advantage, you know, leans towards Tampa Bay, because they know where all the slick spots are. You know where it is, Boogie. You know where it pools.
Bart,
on the 20-yard line.
Bart, where the hell some sprinklers been on the football field you played on?
Hey, man, the sprinklers go underneath the ground, they don't sit up.
Yeah, but you got the irrigation. You got the irrigation system. First of all, Brooke, I ain't say nothing about your T.I. fame, man.
Listen.
Let me get a little slack.
Hey, Bart and Greeny.
You got to call Urlacher, man.
I'm more concerned about that picture. Hey, Greeny, I'm more concerned about whatever that picture is behind Bart than I am the sprinklers popping up in the middle of the field during this game. Are we going to –
This reminds me of my mom,
Bart?
Man.
What is that?
This is Romero Brito. This is Romero Brito, man. Famous Brazilian artist.
Bart, nobody knows that. We can't detect what that is.
Look, you know Bart right now trying to put some artist on. He was like, I'm gonna set your piece up right behind me when I do get up this morning.
Okay.
Hell,
let the record show, Romeo Brito was not in the rundown when we put this thing together this morning. Okay.
Hey,
let me go through.
Look at the girls. Look like Pam Grier, man.
30 seconds on the clock for each of you. And Swagoo, I'm starting with you. Give me a dark horse MVP candidate.
Man.
Give me a sneaky good candidate for MVP, Marcus Spears. 30 seconds, go.
Yeah, G, for me, Chris Godwin, man, he can be a guy that can devastate. We've seen his connection with Tom Brady. We see when those guys get going. And most likely he's going to get a favorable matchup because of Evans and AB potentially being back. And Godwin has worked the middle of the field. He's been a guy that they run all the seams with, and he's the middle of the field attacker. Brady seems to trust him in some key moments as well. You see here they run the little quick, little throw, that's an extended run, and now you get it matched up. This is what I was talking about with the seams. He can win. He's a big-time receiver. And Chris Godwin has the potential to be a one in this league. They get to use him as a three.
Throw up those 50-50 balls. He actually will be a free agent this offseason, so he's an interesting one to follow after Sunday. Graziano, let's talk about the coaches. Do we see an advantage there? 30 seconds, go.
Yeah, I mean, it's no offense to Bruce Arians, but you have to give Andy Reid the edge. I mean, this is a guy that won this game last year, and historically, his record is 27-5 when he has 2 weeks to prepare for a game. That includes 7-2 in the postseason, so that's not a small sample size. It's the best record of any coach in the Super Bowl era in such situations. So give him 2 weeks to prepare, and Andy Reid should be ready to go. Doesn't necessarily mean the Chiefs will win, but I would say if you ask me which coach has the advantage, look, a year ago the storyline was Andy Reid can't win the big one. He got rid of that last year, and now I think he's got the advantage.
And his team has more Super Bowl experience, too. The Chiefs have 34 games of Super Bowl experience. The Bucs have 17. 9 of those are Brady. So only 8 games of playoff, of Super Bowl experience amongst the rest of the roster. All right,
Booker,
this is the last
one
we'll have you today. So your 30 seconds, you tell us who's going to win. Super Bowl 55, big fella, go.
Greeny, every time we say great offense can't be stopped, every time I'm reminded of that Super Bowl in New York when Peyton Manning went up against the Seattle Seahawks and that great offense was shut down. I truly believe the Buccaneers are a really good defense, but it's going to be different. They're going to have to play in the red zone. I think Kansas City is going to move the football in between the 20s. I like the Bucs to win 37-31. Tom Brady gets number 7, and we talk all week long about how Tom Brady is good as Babe Ruth, LeBron James, so many different people. It'll fill up talk show radio all next week, Greeny.
Listen, in what can only be described as a colossal upset, Booger McFarland, who lives in Tampa, Florida, has picked the Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Big fella, you're the best. Thank you.
I believe in defense. Hey, I can't help it. Y'all don't believe in defense anymore. I still believe in it.
Okay, fair enough. We'll see what winds up happening. We got to let Boog go. We have so much more to come, though, as we continue to get up with you for the next hour and 20 minutes. A lot of talk this week about the Patriot way. We've got a Patriots legend today to set the record straight once and for all. He's on the way. But first, it's time for our best matchup, Sneaky Hembo against Graziano. Which active player has made the most tackles in the Super Bowl? Actually, this one's going to be for Devin McCourty. Which active player has made the most tackles in the Super Bowl? That's the question. The answer is next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and today's trivia question from Hembo is, which active player has made the most tackles in the Super Bowl? And as we welcome in our next guest, Devin McCourty, we're going to put him on the spot. Go ahead, Devin. Which active player has made the most tackles in the Super Bowl?
I'm not 100% sure, but I'm going to guess 2 people. I think it's either myself or Patrick Chung.
So give me one answer.
Me.
Okay, that's right. It is you. Devin McCourty is the right answer. Do you think I would put you on the show and not have you be the right answer to this question? Devin McCourty has made the most tackles of any active player in the Super Bowl. And Devin McCourty is also, and more importantly, the New England Patriots nominee for the 2020 Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award presented by Nationwide. It is probably the most prestigious award you can win in the entire sport. And so congratulations to you on that. Devin, let's get to the game here, or let's get to the bigger picture. You played with Tom Brady all those years. You've been in this spot with Tom Brady so many times. What has it been like for you to watch from afar this season and this run that he is having?
Oh, it's been awesome. You know, I think I came in the NFL with Gronkowski. Me and Gronk drafted the same year, 10 years with Tom. So to watch those two guys leave our team and still bring a success and bring everything they've learned throughout their NFL careers to Tampa, a team that didn't make the playoffs last year, now is having an opportunity to win the world championship. It's been awesome to watch, and obviously a little bittersweet because you have rather those two guys suiting up with you on Sundays, but it's still awesome to see those guys going out there doing it again. And obviously for Tom and his legacy and what he's done in this league, he doesn't have to do any more. But, you know, to continue to watch him and his greatness continue to get better and better each year, it's just unbelievable.
No, you've seen it from the inside. It is genuinely unbelievable. It's, in fact, something I would have said was impossible, except that he's done it. Can you put your finger on how? How has he managed to do, at the age of 43, something maybe no athlete has ever done before?
Yeah, I think it's him just being him. You know, he has a routine. He has a regimen that he sticks to. I remember talking to Brian Hoyer this year, and he said him and Tom went skiing in the offseason. He said when they finished, he said Tom called Alex, and they had to get some body work in. He had to get his body back to feeling good. And that's a guy that is dedicated to football all year round, every day. So when he goes to a team, he doesn't have to do a lot of yelling and screaming. That's not him. He's not super vocal unless he has to be. But just how he prepares, how he comes in each day, his greatness, people just watch. And when he walks into a locker room, I'm sure everybody in Tampa is like, oh, let me just see how Tom does this. Let me see how he does that. And they're looking at him from two lockers down, three lockers down. And the next thing you know, everyone else around him gets better. So that's just his presence and what he brings to a team by just being himself.
Yeah, it is one of the most remarkable stories we've ever seen. I want to get your take on something that happened earlier this week. Your former teammate, Danny Amendola, played a bunch of years in New England. He made some comments about the quote-unquote Patriot way that got a lot of attention. We've had multiple people weigh in here. Let me play them in case you haven't heard them.
When you see Patriot way in the dictionary, it's going to have Tom Brady's name next to it. None of those coaches threw any passes. None of those coaches caught any passes. They got guys in the right position because they watch a lot of film and they spend all their time at the facility. But Tom Brady is the Patriot way, and that's the reason why Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl right now, and the Patriots aren't.
So that has gotten a lot of reaction here, Devin. What is yours?
Yeah, I think Dola's trying to let people know Tom's greatness. I don't think that came out the correct way at all. I think what he said about the coaches is true. Like, that's what coaching is. It's watching film and putting guys in the best position. And, you know, when I think about the Patriot way, though, I think about a team. So whether you want to call Tom the best player on the Patriot way and the leader of it, no doubt about it. But you can't tell me in all of those games and all of these years throughout that the defense and other guys haven't had something to do with that. That's all guys coming. That's all guys believing in that. We've had great players across the board. We've had guys like Darrell Revis, Vince Wilfork, the Teddy Bruschis, the Willie McGinnis, the Ty Laws. Like, those guys are in, you know, Ty Laws, a Pro Football Hall of Famer. You know, he is the Patriot way also. So I think whether you want to call Tom the leader of the Patriot way, because I think a lot does trickle down from him. But I think it was a little bit of a slap in the face to all of the other guys that are not Tom Brady, the Julian Edelmans, the Gronks. Like, but I don't think he meant it that way. I think he wanted to really push Tom Brady's greatness and what Tom Brady is, because everyone puts us in this Brady versus Belichick kind of arena. And I think Dola was really trying to tell people, like, you know, Tom is a great player. And for me, I don't think you have to defend that. Turn on the film, turn on this year. If you thought Tom Brady was a system quarterback, you probably need to go dive in the snow if you're in the Northeast right now, head first, because he's shown every bit of him. He can go win anywhere and really at any moment. The guy's 43 years old. He's playing in another Super Bowl. It's 10th. So his greatness is definitely out there.
Well, you're exactly right, and that's very insightful. And you're right that externally, the Brady versus Belichick thing has been a storyline. Radio shows, talk shows like this one. How much, if at all, was that a factor inside? You guys played a season this year. To what degree, if any, was the Brady factor inside the Patriots organization this year?
Yeah, I think as a team organization, we moved on. But you lost Tom Brady. Like, you lost the best quarterback in the NFL. Like, you don't just replace that. You don't just make up for that. And I think we definitely felt that. We lose Tom. We don't have an offseason to even begin to try to process that and prepare and get ready. So we definitely felt that. The guy's been the best quarterback in the NFL for the last two decades. So to replace that, you know, we felt it. But I think from a mental standpoint, guys have moved on. We're trying to improve. We're trying to get better. And it wasn't as it's been, you know. And I think that's for us is something that we have to push forward and show that the Patriot Way is a team. It is, but it's a lot of good players. Like, we have to do that. We have to go win football games. The Patriot Way isn't, you know, just something that happens. It's guys doing it day in, day out, winning football games, winning and preparing the right way. And I think the Patriot organization is still moving in that direction. I think you saw that throughout the season in tough times, going out there and winning some games that are tough. And we'll have to try to just keep getting better.
That's really well said. Again, Devin McCourty, the Patriots nominee for the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award presented by Nationwide. Congratulations on that. Thank you so very much for taking this time here, Devin. It is great to talk to you again, and enjoy your offseason. We'll catch up down the road.
Appreciate it. I just want to say a huge shout out to Nationwide for, you know, having me on here and making this award so prestigious. Nationwide's done a really good job, so thank you.
Well done. Devin, thank you so much. Great to see you. Enjoy the Super Bowl on Sunday. So we have that to look forward to. We also have another full day of college hoops across all our networks tomorrow, highlighted by Carolina Duke. That's at 6 Eastern. Then you got Tennessee and Kentucky. Both games are on ESPN and the ESPN app, so you can watch from anywhere. Coming up on the eve of his second Super Bowl, we'll tell you why Patrick Mahomes is under more pressure than he's ever faced in his career. That is next. This is Get Up on ESPN.